ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Even in the midst of that, yes. It doesn't matter the situations that come upon us. We rejoice in the Lord, the God who has given to us everlasting salvation. We rejoice in him. And I think, you know, we lose sight of the fact that God's on the throne, that he's in control. And he'll see us through no matter what the situation is. You know, people were fearful Hillary Clinton might get into office. Yeah, it wasn't something that I wanted. But what if she did? We go, oh no, what are we going to do? The same thing we did before the elections, right? We serve the Lord. He's still on the throne. He knows all that's going to take place. To us, it's new. Wow, I'm shocked by this. God's not. We know all things work together for good to those who are called. We know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Circumstances change, and sometimes they change so quickly, don't they? God doesn't. We need to understand that. Paul also says we're to pray without ceasing. Oh yeah, that's easy for you. I work. How can I pray all the time? Well, you're missing the point. Our lives should be in tune with God throughout the day. Our lines of communication with him are always open so he can direct us throughout the day. That doesn't mean that you're on your hands and knees or on your faces before the Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Can you talk to God just by walking down the street? I remember when my oldest son Joe was younger and we were in one of the forest preserves in Illinois and riding our bikes on one of the trails. And we were singing some songs and he was just, you know, praising God. All of a sudden, we see him because he was ahead of us, and he's going all over the place, and he's like off the trail. Like, Joe, what are you doing? I was closing my eyes, praising God. Like, you can't do that riding a bike. But it was very cute, to say the least. You know, without ceasing, any time of the day. You know, we're facing a major crisis at work. What do we do? You should pray. You know, I worked in a critical care unit at a hospital, at several hospitals, and man, there are situations, Lord, I don't even know what to do. I remember one time, and I was at LPN at this time. I was working in, not in the ICU, but on a telemetry unit for cardiac patients, heart patients. And there was this woman who was in there who was having this irregular heartbeat. It was called VTAC. And she was having runs of this, and we kept putting her on all this medication, and it wasn't helping. And the doctors were baffled. They had no idea what was going on. I was just like, I don't know what's going on. And I was really young in the Lord at this point, very young. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I just need to look at the chart. I need to look at her chart. And I'm an LPN. I passed meds. That was my job, passing meds to like 30 patients on this floor throughout the night or evening shift. And I started looking. I'm going, what's different in her since she got in? And the only thing that was different was that she had an IV line put into her upper portion of her heart on the right side. That was the only thing that was different. When was her last chest x-ray? Well, it was a long time ago. Again, she's been on IV medication, oral medication, everything. They don't know what's going on with her. And I told my charge nurse, I said, Marsha, I said, this person hasn't had a chest x-ray in a long time. What if that catheter migrated down into her right ventricle and she's having VTAC because every time her heart beats, that catheter is flipping around, hitting her ventricle. We need to get an x-ray. So she called the doc. They did an x-ray, and it had migrated down. I'm like, well, praise God. No one knew how to figure that out. Can we seek God's direction? Absolutely. I wish I could say every time it was that easy. It wasn't. But our communication with God. Jesus said, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Wow, to be men and women of prayer, not to lose heart. I've been praying for 30 seconds and nothing's happened. Okay, don't lose heart. Trust God. We pray for His will to be done, not ours. Keep that in mind. And the third point that Paul speaks of here is in everything, give thanks. How? How can I give thanks again for everything? Again, you know what Paul said, and I'll read from the Amplified Bible from Romans 8:28. We are assured to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. It doesn't say we see that all things work together because we don't always see it. It doesn't say we feel that all things are working together because, you know, feelings, whoa, feelings, you know how those go. But I can give thanks in everything because I know that all things work together for good. How do I know? Because God has told me. Do I trust Him? Well, how can I trust Him? I don't see it happening. When you were saved, when you asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life, when you repented of your sins, did He send you an email or a letter or something saying, Joe is saved? No. You believed it by faith because that's what His Word says. Do you believe this by faith? I know all things work together for good. I know it because God has said it. That's really, really important. And I'll give you a quick, kind of quick example from someone who was persecuted more than I will probably ever be in my lifetime in a very short period of time. Corrie Ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, tells of a time she discovered that God was working even in the most horrific circumstances. Corrie and her sister Betsy had been imprisoned by the Nazis for hiding Jews behind the wall of their Holland home, and Nazi prison conditions were pretty well unbearable. Corrie writes, Barracks 8 was in the quarantine compound. Next to us, perhaps as a deliberate warning to newcomers, were located the punishment barracks. From there, all day long and often into the night, came the sounds of hell itself. They were not the sounds of anger or of any human emotion, but of a cruelty altogether detached. Blows landing in regular rhythm, screams keeping pace. We would stand in our 10 deep ranks with our hands trembling at our sides, longing to jam them against our ears to make the sound stop. It grew harder and harder. Even within these four walls, there was too much misery, too much seemingly pointless suffering. Every day, something else failed to make sense. Something else grew too heavy. Yet in the midst of the suffering, the women prisoners around Corrie and Betsy found comfort in the little Bible studies they held in the barracks. Corrie writes they gathered around the Bible like waifs clustered around a blazing fire. The blacker the night around us grew, the brighter and truer and more beautiful burned the Word of God. When they were moved to Barracks 28, Corrie was horrified by the fact that their reeking straw bed platforms swarmed with fleas. How could they live in such a place? It was Betsy who discovered God's answer. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corrie. That's His answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her, then around me at the dark, foul-aired room. They thanked God for the fact they were together. They thanked God they had a Bible. They even thank God for the horrible crowds of prisoners. The more people would be able to hear God's word. And then Betsy thanked God for the fleas. The fleas? That was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for a flea. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. Doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are part of this place where God has put us. And so we stood between tiers of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. Turned out that Betsy was not wrong. The fleas were a nuisance, but a blessing after all. The women were able to have Bible studies in the barracks with a great deal of freedom, never bothered by supervisors coming in and harassing them. They finally discovered that it was the fleas that kept those supervisors out. Through those fleas, God protected the women from abuse and harassment. Dozens of desperate women were free to hear the comforting, hope-giving word of God. Through those fleas, God protected the women from much worse things and made sure they had their deepest trust needs met. Wow. What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the thoughts I plan for you, says the Lord, their plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Never forget that. I don't always understand why things happen, like I said, but I trust God. And it's important for us to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything to give thanks. Why? Because Paul says it's the will of God. People go, what's the will of God for my life? I want to know. All right, here it is. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. I want something else. That's not how it works. God wants to bless us. Just be obedient to him. Now look at verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So 4 points now. Don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. Test all things and hold on to that which is good. And abstain from every form of evil. The word quench, first of all, means to put out, to extinguish, smother, suppress. How do we quench the spirit or the work of the spirit in our lives? By not obeying him. It's like throwing a bucket of water on a fire. It's quenched. Remember when Stephen was arrested for preaching Christ and he was before the Jewish council and he shared not only their history, but he also shared Jesus with them. In fact, he said in Acts 7, verses 51 through 53, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. He nailed them. It was true. Their fathers persecuted the prophets. I mean, just read Jeremiah. They didn't want to hear it. They should have been cut to the heart and repented of their sins. But in verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, yes, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. They got the conviction of God, and they could have repented. But they got the conviction of God, and they lashed out. And they were quenching the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. The Holy Spirit was drawing them to Jesus. What did they do? Took a bucket of water and threw it, put out that fire, and they have an eternity to think about it if they never came to that saving faith. You know, we can destroy the work of the Holy Spirit in so many ways. Within the church, bickering, backbiting, putting people in the body down, slander. That's what Paul is talking about in verses 12 through 18. We have to be careful that we don't quench the Spirit's work in our lives and the lives of others. We should be a fan that not only blows upon our own lives and causes us to burn more brightly, but to blow upon the lives of others and help them to burn brightly, encouraging them. I think it was Spurgeon says, you know, something to the effect that if you're on fire from the Lord, people will come and watch you burn. Well, we know that's true. You see someone's house burning, and what happens? The whole neighborhood's out to watch it. If you're on fire for the Lord, people want to see what's going on with that person. They may not agree with it. They may reject it, but they will watch it. We need to be careful. Paul then also speaks about not despising prophecies. In other words, to make nothing of something, to look down upon or discard or set aside. Now, I realize when you hear the word prophecy, you know, many people think it's speaking about the future. Well, that's true. That word does speak of that. But it also speaks about forthtelling, just speaking forth the words of God. We have the completed scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. We don't add to it or take away. The scriptures are pretty clear on that. So God's not adding new doctrine at all. But he does speak to us today. How? Well, not through new revelation, but through his word, opened up to us by the Spirit of God. You know, as I share the word of God or forthtelling, God is speaking to you. And God can use others to speak to you. We have to be open. We need to listen. Now, I'll give you kind of an example of what not to do. If someone comes up to you and says, you know, God told me you are supposed to go to Iran and preach the gospel, don't pack your bags. Yeah, but they told me. God told them. I don't really care. God will speak to you if he wants you to go to Iran and preach the gospel. He will confirm it with others, but he will speak to you. And that's important because people will tell you all kinds of things that you need to do. Let God speak to you. He knows. Paul then says, test all things, hold fast what is good. Make sure the things are of God, right? Test them. How do we do that? Well, bring them before the light of God's word. And if it's contrary to God's word, it's not of God. I've encouraged you over the years, and I will continue to do so, check out what I am saying and see if it lines up with the Bible, with what the Scriptures say. I want you to do that. Spiritual discernment is what's lacking in the church today. And I always find it interesting when, you know, when someone has a false doctrine and you expose it, they ignore your doctrine. They ignore the Scriptures. They say, yeah, but. No, there's no buts. This is what the Scriptures say. The discernment in the church today is believe whatever you want. That's a dangerous place to be. We are to be teachable and not despise prophecies, but we're not to be gullible. And I'm amazed at how many Christians are gullible. You know, we had, what was it, in September or October, the world was to come to end, the Lord was going to return, there were some great things that was going to happen because all the planets and stuff were going to align. And is that what the Scriptures say? No. So is he right? No. How easy. That was one of the easiest ones to disprove. It was simple. We are to hold on to what is good and abstain, stay away from that which is evil. That's a good point. And I think the idea here is the appearance of evil. We have seen this church in Thessalonica have a tremendous witness of their love for the Lord, and they had separated themselves from the world. And like I said before, they stuck out like a sore thumb. They shine brightly. Why? Because they didn't blend in with the world. The church wants to be like the world today. They want to blend in. So the world's comfortable with them. And why are we not shining for Jesus? Because we're blending in with the world. Here's some of the things that the church is involved in. Teaching that the Bible is not inspired and inerrant. Well, yeah, you've just taken away the foundation here. This is it. Using books instead of the Bible in Bible study. I'm not even sure why you call it Bible study. Book study, book club, whatever. Teaching that there is more than one way to God besides Jesus. Oh, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, that kind of sums it up for me. Being embarrassed to say that Jesus is the only way to salvation. Teaching that there is no absolute right and wrong. Are you absolutely sure on that? And it goes on. You know, just approving all kinds of immorality, and the church is silent. And I will tell you this, if that is what the church is doing, all these things that are not biblical, they will never reach the world for the gospel, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are making people comfortable going to hell. We are to be a bright light in a world that's in darkness. Does the world need more darkness? No, it needs light. You know, people are, the Christians, you know, they're like, oh, it's such a dark world. It's so, there's so much sin. It's so bad. Ah. Awesome. That means we're shining brighter, right? They should see the big difference in our lives. And as people look at our lives, what do they see? And I'll tell you, you know, I've had Christians call that wanted to get married and they're living together. And, oh, it's, we're not sleeping together. It's just for economic purposes. Yeah, don't lie to me. Okay, you know, it's not. I'm not going to marry you. You're living together. That's an appearance of evil. Sorry, it's not going to happen. And a great way to determine if I should do something or not, if you should do something or not, is ask yourself. Very simple question. If Jesus was standing right next to me, would he approve of what I'm wearing, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, where I'm going, whatever? Guess what? He's standing right next to you. You need to challenge yourself on that. Abstain from every form of evil. Focus on what is good. You know, that's what Paul talked about in Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. As Christians, we are to honor his Spirit, obey his word, and exercise spiritual discernment, as well as abstaining from every form of evil. Those are all important for us to do. Again, our Christian walk, guys. And I'll finish up with this. Starting in verse 23, may the Lord God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So Paul is speaking of the Lord sanctifying us, being set apart. A good example to get a perspective of this would be a dress. A dress is pretty much just a dress, right? But a wedding dress is something far different, isn't it? that is set apart from all the other dresses you will ever have in your life. It's a wedding dress. That's what God is doing in us, setting us apart. And I think it's interesting, the illustration of a wedding dress, when we are called the bride of Christ, aren't we? He is setting us apart. We may have this fleshly dress upon us, but He is sanctifying us. He's got a wedding dress for us. And when we go to be with Him, we'll be like Him. He'll finish the work He started. Completely sanctify us. How many of you feel completely sanctified right now? I'm the only one raising my hand? No, I'm not raising my hand. None of us, because the Lord is still working. God is sanctifying us on how we walk, how we live out our faith. It makes sense. And we have to surrender to Him. It's not by our own efforts, our own abilities, not at all. In fact, in Philippians 1:6, this is a verse I love. Being confident of this very thing, that He who began a work will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord, because I have so far to go. But you're going to complete the work you started. God started the work in me. He continues the work in me. And He will finish the work in me. What's the center of this? It's God. It's not me. It's Him working in me, sanctifying me. And He'll bring me to glory one day. And we can take that to the bank. And yeah, we have a free will. We do have a free will. We can obey or disobey Him. But it's our choice. But don't we ask every day, Lord, help me to be more like You. Help me to say the things You would say. Help me to do the things You would do. We need to listen. He who calls us is faithful. He'll do it in our lives. Thank You, Lord. And then Paul calls for prayer in verse 25. That the Thessalonian believers would pray for him. I covet your prayers. One of the blessings for me is when someone says, oh man, I've been praying for you. Oh, thank you. I really needed it. God knows what I need. And yeah, I needed prayer. And then Paul talks about greeting each other with a holy kiss. You know, in the Middle East, they still do that today. They give a kiss on the cheek. We do the holy hug, I guess. We give each other hugs, right? Or a handshake and for some. But it was just a greeting. Formal greeting. And then Paul says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Don't frame it. Don't put it up on a pedestal. Read it. Don't hide it. Don't cover it up. I will tell you, if we had the original manuscripts written by the apostles and, you know, if we had these, we would have them in some museum somewhere. These books are not for museums. These books are to be read and applied to our lives from Genesis to Revelation. Read it, live it. Sounds simple? It's not, because we have to live it. We have to surrender to Him. And Paul, you know, he started out with the grace of God, and now he's finishing this letter with, oh, the grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Started with grace, ends with grace. Absolutely. Saved by grace, sustained by grace, and taken up in glory because of the grace of God. His unmerited favor towards us. We don't deserve it. We will finish this morning, one way or another. Packers aren't playing today, are they? Oh, I got all day then. No, I'm finishing up. In closing, so you know I'm almost done. Next week we're going to get into Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. It's only three chapters, but there's a lot in there. What I want to leave you with this morning are these closing words from one of the a commentator, and this is what he wrote. The closing requests Paul made to the Thessalonians match what all dedicated pastors desire from their own church, that their people pray for them, that their people demonstrate affection to them and to one another, and that their people hear, read, study, and apply God's word. The evangelical church now resides in a time when so many people assume that it can accomplish its mission by man-centered methods, programs, and strategies. Those same people minimize the need to seriously and faithfully pray for their pastors or the necessity to regularly rely on the divine, all-sufficient resources contained in Scripture. It is a lie from Satan that pastors can do without the divinely energized prayers of their people, but it is God's truth that, through those prayers, He will powerfully enable pastors to fulfill their callings and help build His church. Absolutely, and I'll leave you with this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful letter, Lord. Not one that was to be put on some pedestal or framed in some museum somewhere. but to be read by all the holy brethren. And we thank you that it still is today and it will continue on, Lord, because your word will endure forever. And we thank you for that. Men may try to extinguish it, put it out, destroy it. You'll never let it happen. And Lord, may we be men and women of faith who love you, love your word, and surrender to your spirit each and every day of our lives. We thank you so much, Lord, for all you're doing. And Lord, may we have a walk that is worthy of the high calling by which we've been called. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.